Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and you're going to enjoy the guest that I have today. If you are a person that just yearns to tell a story and you want to put it in a published form, but you don't know what to do, how do you go about doing it, what is this thing called inventory? You have heard horror stories, maybe of people that have self-published, and you think, I don't want to go there. Well, my guest today is Dan Poynter. This is a man who does not want anyone to not leave a legacy of their special story in the printed form, and he is a man that I have been familiar with and have interacted with over the years on different levels, whether it's been through his publications or actually having him as a guest on the show. Dan Poynter is a man that knows all about self-publishing, and he has been one busy person, but he's with us today, and so you have a chance to get the inside track on his wonderful publication, The Self-Publishing Manual, and I have Volume 2 in front of me. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me back.
Well, it is a delight. How to write, print, and sell your own book. Dan, anyone that has been involved in writing over the years, like me, will just say, it's amazing the changes that have occurred in this industry. For those of my listeners that have never heard of you, would you please tell them how you got involved in self-publishing and how you got to the point where you were able to do 120 books of your own?
Well, I worked for a number of years as a parachute designer, and I put together a huge manual. I looked around and I realized that no publisher would understand a parachute manual and would certainly not know where to sell it. But the whole secret, I'll give it to you in one sentence. It's write what you know and love and sell into your own industry. Sell to your friends. That's the whole secret to successful publishing. And that's what the New York publishers have not done. They've not ever done. And that's why they're in so much trouble today. I wrote a technical book on parachutes and I sold it to my colleagues, the manufacturers, designers, and technicians in the parachute field. It's so obvious, it's so easy, and yet so many publishers still don't get it.
Well, you have been involved in the publishing industry for so many years. And let's just step back to, let's say, the 90s. When people in the 90s, and that may seem like, you know, it was the last century, but it really wasn't all that long ago, where in the early 90s people were talking about the electronic books, like they have the Sony books that you can just carry, where they will be able to load in 200 whatever that you want. There's music and all kinds of stuff you can put into it. Now, in the early 90s they were talking about it, and I can remember someone, a publisher, saying, wow, the Japanese are going to come out with this and it's just going to be a real hot thing. Well, that was in the 90s, the early 90s. And we're just now getting to this positioning with the electronic positioning of being able to have books held in the hand in that format. But you had to have inventory then. You would make a tremendous investment in the printed word. You were printing it over maybe in Hong Kong if you had colored illustrations. How has the world changed from then? It's quite dramatic.
Well, there are a lot of different forces. One of them is an economic force. Another is a technological force. There are just so many things happening. And, yes, we've been talking about e-books since the early 90s. But in e-books, you have three components. You have hardware, software, and content.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the hardware and the software, but they didn't have content. They'd show you Last of the Mohicans or the Red Badge of Courage. You know, remember those books that you didn't want to read in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, you still don't want to read them. And so you looked at those books and you said, yeah, I see it. Okay, so it wasn't something that you wanted. Well, now, in the last couple of years, between FictionWise and Amazon and some of the other sites, they're coming out with brand new books and books that you want to read, fiction, authors that you love, and nonfiction subjects that you really need to find out about. So everything has sort of come together. That is kind of married with the economics of it, because as you point out, with the e-book, you don't have to print, you don't have to truck, you don't have to inventory. You can even automate the fulfillment. You don't have to cut the invoices and ship the things out. So it's a whole lot simpler today. Now, that being said, it's still, for most of us, very important to do a small run of printed books first, because the print book gets people's attention. The print book gives you more credibility. The print book is the one you send out to reviewers in your own category magazines. I mean, I send parachute books out to parachute magazines. You have to send a print book out. You still have to do that. But it's very exciting because it's so much less expensive. It's so much faster, so much easier to get out the e-book. Let me tell you a little quick story. On this new book, the Volume 2 of the Self-Publishing Manual, I finished that thing on a Monday night. I uploaded it to Smashwords. I uploaded the text and the cover. And within minutes, they had translated it into 10 different e-book formats. Things like PDF, LIT, Mobi Pocket, Palm, EPUB, Sony, Kindle, and so on.
Whoa.
At no charge. And then it was immediately available for sale, and we started selling books the next morning. And for every one that they sell, I get 85%. They only take 15%, and they don't charge for the conversion. So everybody wants to know, what was that again? Smashwords.com, S-M-A-S-H-W-O-R-D-S, Smashwords.com. I was at a conference about 3 weeks ago in Cape Town, South Africa, and I talked about this from, I think, 2 to 3 in the afternoon. And I met a guy at the cocktail party at 6 o'clock. He said, wow, that was super, that Smashwords. He says, I was so energized. I went up to my room. He says, I filled out the forms. I uploaded three of my books, and then I cleaned up for dinner, and here I am. That's how fast and easy it is.
So, oh, for heaven's sake.
Life is good. Oh, and then I sent my book off to be printed with McNaughton and Gunn in Saline, Michigan, and it took 3 more weeks to print the book. So the book was for sale as an e-book for 3 weeks before the print books came out.
Wow. And so
someone
could go into your website, find out about the new publication, someone else, you know, and I mean, this is just mind-boggling.
Well, and you're not limited to books. People are putting up documents, reports, shorter pieces of work. And again, there's no charge for the conversion.
Now, let me ask you a question. I've not seen the e-book that you put out because I've got the actual book right in front of me. But what kind of a cost do you have there? I mean, how do they evaluate the cost, if you don't mind my asking?
Zip. No cost. They don't charge for the conversion. You set the price on the book. So on the one that you're looking at,
this
I usually do it at about 50% of the price. So it's $14.95 for the print one, and it's, I think, $7.97 for the e-book. And my 1995 books are $9.97. I set them about half price.
That
and they
is
have
incredible.
They have a pie chart there, and it shows how much you get and how much they get. And they only take 15%.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you give some stats in here that I thought was extremely interesting, because I've been listening to people say for years, oh, books are going to disappear. They are not going to disappear.
No, they're not.
One-third of all the books published in the world are sold in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
47% are sold in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K.
Right.
That is a phenomenal statistic. Can you explain why it would be that way in the U.S.? I mean, this is the book publishing business has just exploded.
Yes, statistically, the Canadians read more than we do per capita, but that's because winter's longer up there.
Mm-hmm.
And per capita, the Brits publish more than we do, but they have a much smaller population. This whole thing about writing books and reading books is part of our English heritage. That's where it came from. And now it's moving all over the world. And you see a lot of English-speaking populations, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Singapore, Malaysia, all of these places are catching on now. And more people are writing and publishing. There's a book writing explosion going on around the world right now.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And it has been prompted, I think, by the Internet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the computer,
mm-hmm.
making these things possible. There are books in other languages out there, but probably 65%, maybe 70% of all the books in the world are in English.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that that is pretty much the standard language that's used internationally.
Oh, yeah. It's replaced French as a diplomatic language, replaced German as a scientific language. More people speak English than any other language in the world. And so that makes it very, very easy for us. So we happen to be publishing in the right language. The other thing that's very exciting today are search engines, because once you post your book at Smashwords and Amazon and some other places, then people anywhere in the world can find you, can find your book, can find your subject with a simple search.
Mm-hmm.
And so and people should think globally. Don't think, well, I'm going to just sort of sell them locally and then I'll grow from there. No, no. You've got to do your promotion. You just send it out to the whole world. You don't send it out to your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because there may be somebody in Durban, South Africa, who loves your particular subject, nonfiction book, and wants that information, and now they can find you.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what that would have cost 20 years ago.
Oh, through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Through the roof. Personal experience. I know. And it's tens of thousands of dollars. And
mm-hmm.
you then were just wiping your brow and wondering, how am I going to break even?
And
it's just amazing.
Yes.
Now, Dan, you talk about four phases to a book. The creation
right.
of a book, the production of the book, distribution, and promotion. Now, creation, in many ways, is the easiest part. And a lot of people would disagree with that. But when
That's
you really
they haven't
get them,
gotten into the promotion yet.
Yeah, they haven't, you're right. And then when you do the production, I really liked what you said about a script for an audio book.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about audio books and how successful those are. Can you do
okay.
the same thing with an audio book through an MP3 file? How do you do this so that it's going to be really a professional sound and not sound like you've done it in your friend's garage?
Well, it's very, very easy. And the first thing is people often ask me, well, if I sell this many print books, how many audios can I expect to sell? There is no calculation. It all depends on who your audience is. Now, for example, if you are doing a book on some form of sales and it's for salespeople,
mm-hmm.
they're going to buy more audios for two reasons. Number one, they're more auditory. And number two, they're behind the steering wheel all the time.
Yes.
Okay? Most of my clients are writers and publishers. They are print-oriented. They do not listen to audio. That's a broad general statement, but I hardly sell any audios to
mm-hmm.
that particular group of people. So it all depends on who your group is. But so if you assess that you're aiming at a group that does want audio, then you do. You have the script. Now, you only need three things to make your audio. And personally, I don't like working in a studio because it's kind of oppressive. You have people hanging over you waiting for you to get on with it. And you don't need that. You need three things. You need a microphone. If you don't have one lying around, you can get a nice one from Radio Shack for $30. You need to store it somewhere. That's the hard disk of your computer because this is a digital file. All you need to do is sit in front of your computer. You need a program. There's one called Audacity, and it's free. And you can use it to record and also to edit. I think it comes from SourceForge.com. Anyway, it's the Audacity program. It's free download. Okay, then all you do is you sit in front of your computer with your microphone and you start reading your book. Now, if an airplane goes over or somebody comes and knocks on the door to your study, you stop. You wait for the sound to subside, you back up a little bit, and then you pick up and go again. Because, you know, if you stumble and make a mistake, you stop, you back up, and continue on. If you use this system, you don't have to do any editing because you did it clean the first time through.
Mm-hmm.
Every time there was a mistake or a problem, you backed up and then continued on. It's so simple. And then once you've got that on your hard disk, you can decide how you want to produce it. And if it isn't too big a file, you could sell it as a download. Otherwise, you'd have to start cutting DVDs, and then you sell them. And you can turn those out very, very inexpensively.
Amazing. Now, let's get to the real hard stuff, distribution and promotion. Now, you've already mentioned one form. Amazon is a phenomenal level. You also can sell on, if someone has their own website, they can sell on their own website. But let's go another step, because when you have the printed material, people may want to go to a local bookstore. There are people that don't have computers. There are people that don't want to order online. So how has the book industry adjusted for this, and what does the person do relative to distribution and promotion?
Well, you've hit the challenge. And you said, what has the book industry done to adjust? Nothing. Okay. People are creatures of habit. People always buy their books where they always buy their books. Now, you could say, you know, in a program like this, send to me or go to my website. But there's some people who go past a bookstore on their lunch hour.
Mm-hmm.
And if they hear about a book, they duck in there. Hey, how are you doing? I heard about this book. Do you have it? If they don't have it, the bookstore orders it for them. You can't change that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I travel a lot. You know, I fly more than 6,000 miles every week. On the average, I board an airplane every 2.5 days. I've been around the world on speaking tours three times this year, 14 times in the last 2.25 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm constantly on the move. And when I'm home, I drove less than 2,000 miles last year. I mean, that's when I get home, I have to go to the grocery store and the cleaners. In other words, I don't have time to go shopping at bookstores.
Right.
And so I buy my books at Amazon. They have one-click ordering, and I hear about something, I'll go read up on it. If I want to, I just hit the button, and a few days later, somebody delivers it. You're not going to change that pattern. And the point is that if your book is not available in the local bookstores, the chain stores, at Amazon, at BarnesandNoble.com, directly from you, on your website, and all these other places, then for any promotion you do, you're going to lose some sales, because some people will go where they normally go and the book won't be there. So
how does someone cover all of that? I mean, here you are. You're traveling around the world. You have a staff that you're working with. Ingram is one of the big distributors. And, you know, you have costs if you have to supply inventory to them. Let's say maybe a person just had 500 books printed up. That's another issue. How many do you print?
Well, let me say this. I'm on both sides of the desk because I read a lot and I publish and I write a lot. So I've got a well-rounded experience. And when I see a book that I want, I go to Amazon Fiction-Wise, and if it's available, I just click the button and it's automatically debiting my credit card. And it downloads into my iPhone in about 20 seconds.
Simple.
That's because I travel and I can't carry printed books with me. I don't have room in my luggage. Now, what do we do about printed books? Well, personally, we have a distributor, National Book Network. They take care of Amazon. They take care of the chain stores, and they take care of the independent stores for us. So the whole book trade is covered. Then we can concentrate on other outlets outside of the book trade. For my parachute books, my largest dealer is the Paragear Equipment Company in Skokie, Illinois. They have a catalog that goes all over the world. They buy 500 to 1,000 copies each time they order. And they pay in 30 days, and they take a 40% discount. It's wonderful, and never return a book. I mean, it's much better. You're going to sell a lot more books outside of your industry than you are to the book trade. You want to make your book available to the book trade, but then you want to focus on what we call the non-traditional sales. And if you're doing it right and you love what you do and you do what you love and your profit center is your passion center, in my case, my avocation is my vocation because I'm a skydiver, if that's the case, then it's very easy because you can look in the mirror and see a reflection of your customer. You know people in your own industry. You know what magazines they read because you read the same ones. You know what associations they join because you're a member of the same ones. You know what stores they frequent because you go into the same stores. You know what events and conventions they attend because you attend them too. You are very close to your customer. Donna, people often say, oh, I got my book out now. Well, who would you recommend as a publicist? And I try to tell them, look, nobody knows your subject better than you. Nobody knows your book better than you. And when you think about it, nobody knows your customers better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you can find a publicist who has sold a lot of your category of book and has a but electronic Rolodex with a whole bunch of contacts that you haven't met, you're going to be really frustrated because some publicist is not going to know the industry as well as you do. You just don't realize how well you know it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the secret, once again, is write what you know, sell to your colleagues.
Very good. Now, you talk in your book a little bit about literary agents. Cover that subject for my listeners.
Literary agents. Well, let me give you some numbers. There are 6 large publishers in New York. There are 300 or 400 medium-sized publishers across North America, and there are 86,000 self-publishers. I guess we're in the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And the small publishers publish 78% of all the titles. The big publishers only do 22%. And they're only concentrating on celebrities. They'll do Madonna's children's book because Madonna is a brand. They know that she has a following and she's going to sell a certain number of books just because her name is on it, and whether she wrote it or not. And most celebrity books are not written. They're authored by the celebrity, but they're not written by the celebrity.
True.
But they're a brand. I mean, you have people out there like Robert Fulghum and...
Mark Victor Hansen. And...
No. Well, let me finish. Go there. Mark wouldn't like that. Robert Fulghum and L. Ron Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
They died years ago. They're still writing books.
Oh, I see where you're going. Okay.
So obviously, they're written by ghostwriters, but they're capitalizing on the name. They're keeping that brand alive. And keeping that. So don't say that about Mark. He's not dead yet.
No, he's not dead yet. gotcha.
So where were we going on this? Talking about the...
we were talking about the agent.
Oh, okay. So what's happened right now is these large publishers are still operating the way they did in the 1940s. Some of them are still operating the way they did in the 1920s. They've been so resistant to change, and they have been poised for a fall for a couple of decades. Now, all of a sudden, they're reacting to the current economic situation, and they're frozen, deer
mm-hmm.
in the headlights. They don't know what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And so who are the literary agents going to sell to?
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, a year ago, the only people that the literary agents would represent would be the celebrities, because they figured they could sell them. And now they can't sell anybody. So, and of course, a lot of people are being let go by the large publishing companies.
Yes, I know of a number. Yes.
And they become agents. So
mm-hmm.
now you've got more and more people chasing less and less business. Okay, here's my suggestion. It's called simultaneous publishing. Rather, what I don't want people to do is go out and pitch a few agents and then wait for a phone call,
because mm-hmm.
you'll probably never get it. So here's what you do. You print 500 books. You do that digitally, pretty inexpensively, and you have to send some books out for review and send them to opinion molders, and you owe a few books to people who sent you stories and did proofreading for you and things. And then you pick out 3 or 4 agents, and you send them finished books. Go to the bookstore, look for other books as close to yours as possible. Think to yourself, if somebody bought that book, would they be a good candidate to buy mine? Try to determine who the agent for that book was. Look in the acknowledgments. Many, many authors will acknowledge their agent. If that doesn't work, do a Google search on the author. Call her up and say, who was your agent? You also want to send 3 or 4 off to selected publishers of your category of book. Now, that's easy because the publishers are listed in the book.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to make 2 phone calls. You have to find out who the acquisition editor was. You can't just call the publishing company not one of the big 6 in New York. You've got to be calling somebody in particular. Now, what you're doing is you are sending finished books to a few agents and a few publishers. If you send an idea, a proposal, a manuscript, a query letter off to an agent or a publisher, they will think of you as a common writer. But if you send them a finished book, they will treat you like a published author. There's a huge perceptual difference in the publishing industry. Because if they get a book in their hands, they feel somebody has invested in this.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
See, it's passed the test. And it's just a better presentation. It's not a whole bunch of loose papers. They look at the front cover and they read the description, the sales copy on the back cover, they open it up and they see the pictures that you might have put in there. And it just has a much better effect on them. Now, at that point, if they call you back and make you an offer, you can run the numbers and you might decide to sell out. But if they don't get back, it doesn't matter because your book is already launched. Donna, think about what's important. To the book, it's to see the light of day. To the reader, it's to get your information, or if it's fiction, your entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And to you, it's to get published as quickly as possible. And you could do that with the simultaneous publishing.
It's amazing. Now, one of the things that you mentioned that's very important is the cover. And I know that you, a long time ago, when, and we don't think of this unless we've been in the situation of publishing things, how the edge of the book that is going to be facing outward to whoever is perusing bookshelves at a bookstore.
The spine.
The binding. When you look at that binding, you have it so that the letter reads from top to bottom, not where you have to turn your head sideways to look
vertical.
At it. The vertical.
Well,
yes.
how are books displayed? Do you ever see them lying on the table? No, they're always on a bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
They're always vertical. Now, historically, you couldn't turn the type 90 degrees. It went one way or the other. And in the U.S. and the U.K., the type has always read up when the cover is up. But in continental Europe, it's the opposite. The type reads up when the cover is down. It's just started off that way, and it's kind of like driving on the left-hand side or the right-hand side of the road. It's just continued on that way.
Now, for making the cover, you say mm-hmm. that is so important, and I agree with you. I review 400 to 600 books a year.
Oh, my God.
And when I do that, I have, you know, my daily show. So I like to have in hand the material. Just having somebody send me an e-book isn't going to happen because
mm-hmm.
I've got so much reviewing that I do of all kinds of material. So I use a highlighter, and I go through the book. Most of the authors probably would cringe when they see what it looks like. In fact, yours mm-hmm. is highlighted all over the place. But you have the cover information being so important, and you have throughout your book recommendations of cover artists, and you have book shepherds that mm-hmm. people that you can contact if you want someone to hold your hand through this process when you're a newbie. I just think that you offer so much information that's current and up to date in your publication, the Self-Publishing Manual, Volume 2. It's wonderful, Dan. It really is. You've really gotten this down to a very finely tuned process, and it's just so great that you're sharing it.
Well, thank you. I've written 126 books since 1969. I've been there, and I'm an author, a publisher, and a self-publisher. I've sold books to publishers, I've published other authors, and I've self-published a lot of my books, so I've been on all three sides of the desk. And so, I love books, and I love history, and I've studied the books, and that's why I came up with our document 116, which shows you how to lay out your back cover. And you lay out your back cover before you write the book. That's what sells it. But by doing it initially, a couple things happen. You focus on who you're writing to. You get a picture of them, an image of them, and you make a whole bunch of bulleted promises, and then all you have to do is to deliver on those promises. As you're writing your book, every couple of days you go and tweak that back cover. It gets better and better and better. I also believe you should deal with a cover artist to do the front cover because
mm-hmm.
they know where the title goes. They know where the barcode goes, and so on. And you also mentioned the book shepherds. Many people would like me to help them with their books, but as I said, I travel all the time and I'm not available. I don't want people to lose momentum on the project.
Mm-hmm.
So I've deputized about 30 different people I call book shepherds. I think they're in 7 different countries. And I don't get any kind of a commission or kickback or anything. It's just that this is my gift to them and my gift to the people writing out there, because if you have a question at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, I want you to get your answer so that you don't lose momentum. I want you to be able to continue with that. I don't want you to have to wait till Tuesday to get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know very well that if you take a little break on your book, it's harder to get back to. It's better if it's just continually in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And putting yourself in a timeline is
mm-hmm.
just so important. Dan, this has just been great, and I'm so grateful that we've been able to reconnect, and I would love for you, the next time you have something that's coming out, send me the information and the book so I can highlight the heck out of it.
Okay.
And so that we can do another interview, because I think this is so important. We are in this era that has phenomenal technology. And even though I've been through the book publishing cycle myself, I just remember the horror that I had when I went through it, and there weren't any book shepherds that I was aware of at the time.
Donna, it's a different industry.
People
are experts on their particular subject or industry, And book publishing is a whole different business, and there's a lot to learn there.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, the most expensive parts of publishing are the mistakes.
No
and
kidding.
That's why I have books and reports, and you have your show, and we're trying to educate people to keep them from making those mistakes.
Absolutely, and that's what this show is all about, is empowering other people, letting them know there are places and people like you that they can touch bases with, and through your own publications can empower them to do maybe what they've wanted to do, share their story and its own special representation. Dan Poynter, thank you for being my guest. Your website is parapublishing.com.
Right.
And anyone can go there. It is a resource of resources. You will definitely want to do it. But get his book. If you're wanting to write your story.
Get the free information kit.
Yeah. You got an information kit there. His self-publishing manual, Volume 2. Excellent. But go and peruse at his site. And that's parapublishing.com. Again, Dan, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast. with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hello, this is Donna. Well, we're back in phone lines are now open. If you would like to chat with me directly today, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the worldwide toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all you need to do is when you call in, when I answer, I'd love to have your first name or your initial. That's all I need from you. And, of course, I also like to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. And so it's that simple, that easy, pain-free, and it can be a lot of fun. I consider myself an information resource, and I like to empower you in any way that I can. So again, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I do want to let you know who our guests are going to be. This coming week, we've got a great lineup of people. Talking about self-publishing today, well, how about You're Not Who You Think You Are? Albert Golden is going to be my guest. You know, you're so much more to you than you ever thought you possibly were capable of. And we're going to be talking about how you can recognize it. One of my favorite people, Teresa Tapp. She's going to be on with us on Wednesday, Fitting Fabulous in 15 minutes. Well, we've got some wonderful, wonderful stories to share. So she's going to be on with me. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about talk radio. Francine Silverman is a lady that I have been interacting with in New York City for a period of time. She herself is a talk show host. And this gal put together a listing of shows, and I'm included in the book, too. This is wonderful, and I want to encourage you to tune in. If you're someone that's involved in a business or an activity, maybe you have become published, you want to know who you can contact. Well, she's got 700 stations, and we're going to be talking all about it. And then on Friday, we'll be talking about 1111, the time prompt phenomenon. Marie Jones is going to be my guest. So a fascinating week, fascinating people, and it's all here for you right on BBS Radio, and I'm delighted to share that information. Wow, here in the Pacific Northwest, we are enjoying such glorious weather. Yesterday, it was close to 80 in my neighborhood, and we just thought we were just in heaven the whole time. But what comes with that is sometimes when you have a severe change of weather, you forget. You've got to take care of yourself and your when you're out of doors, and if you're going to be on the water and you're going to be out in a boat and the sun's shining and you're just soaking up that vitamin D like nobody's business, don't forget to put on that sunscreen because it does make a huge difference to your skin. And ladies, I know the guys seem to look better with wrinkles. You know, there's always been this attitude, men are more handsome when they have the weathered look. Well, we gals know better than that. You don't want to do it. So make sure when you're out in the sun, you may want to get tan, but be thoughtful. You want to be sure that you take care of your skin and you insulate your skin with a sunscreen. I was talking with a woman that she was from Scotland. This was just yesterday. And we were sitting out enjoying this magnificent weather right on the water of the Puget Sound. And it's an incredible, incredible place to be. Just absolutely gorgeous here in the Pacific Northwest. And she was saying how she had to stay out of the sun, and what brought this about is that we were sitting at a table outside, and of course the sun is moving, and so where you may be shaded one moment, within a half hour to an hour, you may find that you're going to become lobster red very quickly because of the shifting of the sun. So she moved to get in the shade, and she said, thank you for bringing to my attention how I'm beginning to burn. And she is from Scotland, and she said, we never see the sun over there. She has a lot in common with the Pacific Northwest weather. But she said, I burn so badly. I never knew how badly I could burn until I came to the United States, and we were outside, and I didn't think there was any problem, and I ended up being blistered all over just from being exposed to the sun. So we need to remember to take care of ourselves, and that means wearing sunscreen. Gals, if you don't want your hair to turn into brittle stuff, make sure that you wear a hat, a cap, a scarf, something that protects yourself, and just be wise. Remember, when you turn the lovely, graceful age of 80 or whatever, you don't want to look like somebody stomped on your face with hobnail boots. Then you want to be sure that you take care of your skin, and once you're out of the sun, make sure that you do keep your, you know, if you've been in salt water, if you've slathered yourself with all kinds of goop, you want to be sure that you rinse it off, and you just take good care of your skin. Remember, it is going to reflect how you treat it. And I can tell you, I learned that vivid lesson when I was 16 and saw a neighbor and what she looked like in her 40s when she no longer had her California golden tan. So be aware, the weather's changing. Thank heavens, we're very grateful for it in the Pacific Northwest, although they're predicting rain within 12 to 14 hours here. But regardless, the weather has been wonderful, and you do have to take care of yourself. And hey, guys, it's a good thing for you to do, too. I think it really makes a difference. So don't forget those hats. And for the babies, keep them covered. I mean, you dress them appropriately. But be aware that tender skin, those babies, they get burned very, very quickly. And they can get a real bad sunburn if there are winds when you've got bright sunshine. And maybe the temps are very comfortable for you. But remember, that little person can burn very, very quickly. So we do have to pay attention to that. Okay, I've got some interesting information. Don't forget you can give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Have you ever heard of a plasma pencil? Well, it is an amazing item. There is a particular individual. His name is LaRussi. And Mr. LaRussi, since the middle 1990s, has been really at the forefront of research involving a production of what's called low-temperature plasmas. And last year, he came out with what is called a plasma pencil. Some people like to call it a saber. But this man is an inventive pioneer, and it is dealing with cold plasma. And I'd never heard of this. And I thought, what have we got going on here? People are out there thinking of new ways of doing things all the time, and I think it's exciting. Now, this is a new device that's about 5 inches long, and I've got a picture of it in front of me, and it's about an inch in diameter, and it produces a plasma jet or a plume that can be adjusted from a half inch to 2 inches in length. Now, this is how he perceives this plasma pencil being of use. Very, very innovative. He said it can disinfect small articles or surfaces, it can treat wounds, and even attack plaque-making bacteria in the mouth. There's another aspect that he's working towards, and that is that this type of a device one day would be able to destroy tumors without damaging surrounding tissue. Fascinating application. Now, this gentleman, Mr. LaRussi, is an associate professor of electrical and computer engineering at the Frank Reedy Research Center for Bioelectrics, which is operating at Old Dominion University and the Eastern Virginia Medical School. And there are other people that have assisted him in being able to accomplish this. Now, what are these plasmas? What exactly do they do, and how can they be of value? Well, they're called the fourth state of matter, along with solids, liquids, and gases. And they're generated anywhere atoms are stripped of electrons, and they create a kind of soup of neutral particles, and they're described as charged ions and electrons. And they can be found in solar flares and around lightning bolts, and they know for a fact that 99% of the known universe is comprised of these plasmas because of their common presence in interstellar space. And do you know what? Here on Earth, in particular atmospheres, the plasmas are super hot and they're very, very hard to handle. So what they do, They use an electrical source tailored to kick lighter electrons into high speeds without doing the same for heavier ions. And it can be done with electricity that can be turned on and off. In fact, it can be pulsed thousands of times a second. Isn't it amazing? And there's so much more that is there. So maybe if you Googled the plasma pencil, you might come up with his information. But it's important to know we've got a lot of options to work with in this world that we live in the universe that we live in. And isn't it wonderful that there are those individuals that say, I wonder, what if it's truly a fascinating place, this world we live in, and the people that live on it. And there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of good. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. When we come back, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and hey, you can also chat with me. Give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Oh, I don't want to forget to let you know that on the 26th, I'm going to be on the air with Katie, one of the talk show hosts here at BBS Radio, and she's on Station 1 like I am, and she's on from 6 to 7 on Tuesday. So on the 26th, which is a Tuesday evening, I'm going to be live with Katie. Her program is called Spiritual Hollywood. So we invite you to come along. And also there is another show I've been invited to guest upon, and I'll be giving you information as soon as I have all of that together. I'll let you know where that other broadcast is going to be coming from. So I so appreciate these people who enjoy having me as a guest, and I look forward to doing more and more of that, plus my own show. So anyway, give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888 888- 815-975-9756. Have you ever heard someone make a statement like this one? Life's more fun when you're not worried about being perfect. Now, let me repeat that. Life's more fun when you're not worried about being perfect. I have a story in front of me. It's about a mom. Her name is Mary, and she had a 6-year-old daughter. She's a little bit older now, I think, than when this was put together. And her daughter, at the time that this experience happened to Mary, was about 6. And her daughter, Mary's daughter, Jody, is practicing the piano. And you know how it is when you're 6 or 7 years of age and you're practicing the piano. You're going to make mistakes. It's just the way it goes. Goodness, adults make mistakes. Well, what started happening with Jody is that she became very critical about herself. And every time she made a mistake, she was totally focusing on the mistake. Now, that's not unusual. But her mother, being a very wise lady, instead of saying, "You're right, that's a stupid mistake, go back and do this, it's a stupid mistake," she didn't do that. She didn't reinforce that kind of negative attitude with her daughter. She said, "No, dear, you're doing very well. Your muscles are learning how to work differently. It's just practice, practice, practice. You are going to do very nicely. Just be patient. Eventually, you'll reach a point where you won't even think about how your fingers are moving. They're just going to play those keys as if it's magic." Well, Jody would feel better after her mom would sort of verbally pat her on the back and encourage her. But then what Mary found is that Jody was coming home from school. If Jody didn't have straight A's, she'd say, "I'm stupid." She would call herself names, saying, "Mommy, I'm an airhead." And Mary began to get very concerned about this. Well, she found out there were a number of other people that were making statements, but the one person she never thought about who was making negative statements was herself. Mary had a habit of really putting herself down. Jody was actually mimicking her mother. Now, this came really full circle to Mary when one day she was upset with something she had not done correctly, and her husband, after she was been berating herself about something she hadn't done right, her husband said, "No, dear, there's nothing wrong with that. You're just human." And all of a sudden, something clicked into place. And Mary realized that she had had this patterning for herself, this self-defeating talk, for a long time. And then she began to pay attention to what came out of her mouth, because she realized her daughter was mimicking her. And she said, "I'm going to do something." So the next time Jody made a derogatory remark about herself, she, in fact, one day walked up to her mom and said, "Mom, am I fat?" Well, this just stunned Mary. I mean, this is a little girl. She's not fat. And she said to herself, "This has to stop." And she told her daughter, she said, "You're not fat, dear. You are who you are. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a little girl. You're not going to be a model like this on a magazine necessarily. You have to give your body a chance to grow." And she said, "You know, I have a bad habit, and I need your help." And Jody said, "Okay, Mom, what do you want me to help you with?" She said, "I want you, whenever I start making a statement about myself that's not positive, I want you to say to me, 'Mom, it's okay. If you hear me saying something not nice to myself, then that'll help me stay on track, and then I'll do the same for you.'" Her daughter said, "Mom, that's a great idea." So that's what she started to do. One day, Mary got very anxious. She said, "Oh, it's so stupid. I didn't remember where my purse was." And Jody said immediately, "Oh, don't worry, Mommy. I'll help you find where your purse is. And don't be so mean to yourself." And it was like a light bulb went on in Mary's head. She goes, "Wow, this is cool. This is working." Do you know that this mother-daughter team have worked out this arrangement very nicely? And wouldn't it be something we could do for ourselves with a friend? If you have a bad habit of doing this, and who doesn't at some time or another, we always talk down about ourselves. Many times that's how we were raised. Well, instead of doing that, recognize that you need to be alert to what you're saying about yourself. This is a wonderful story about a mom and a dad. Don't be ashamed to accept a compliment. You're working on an important project. Let people know what you're doing and enlist their support so you'll get it done. And you want to also teach by example. It's a good thing to pass along to someone else. Well, my goodness, this is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Tomorrow, we're going to give you insights in how you're more than you realize what you are. And we're going to have a great day. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a great day and let the sun shine wherever you are. This is Donna. We'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes, and when I want to get tuned in, tuned up, and not tuned out, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell, Health and Sciences Show on BBSRadio.com. Mary had a little lamb, Mary had a little lamb, and went off to the Pleiades. Woo!